Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective, and more affordable than you might think. Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
That you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number. That's 603-283-6160. And Free Talk Live is brought to you by Fork Fest, happening June 13th through the 16th at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. Fork Fest is a fork of the Porcupine Freedom Festival. ForkFest is decentralized, there's no ticket cost, and no one is in charge. For more information and to connect with other attendees, you can visit the unofficial website, forkfest.party. That's forkfest.party. And with you in the studio tonight on Free Talk Live, you've got me, Bonnie.
Lori.
And Colin.
And in last segment, we were just telling this story from New York. A Brooklyn man got convicted of some gun-related charges, a lot of them, because he had a hobby of putting guns together, and he was doing it most like what he believed was legally, but I guess they still found a way to bring charges against him in the state of New York, and the judge literally said, don't bring up the Second Amendment in my courtroom. The Second Amendment doesn't exist here.
This is New York, right? Wasn't that the
yeah,
other
this
part?
This is New York.
Wow.
That's just great. Like,
did
that,
I get that,
that
quote
last
right,
part.
Though?
Yeah.
Wow. Just shocking. Just so dumb. But yeah, a judge is saying something like that. So I guess she believes that the Second Amendment doesn't apply in New York. And is there more to this story about this crazy case?
Yeah, there's some more about the judge. Hmm. It says, Varghese said he had filed the appropriate paperwork to preserve these arguments for appeal, but the judge rejected these arguments and she went out of her way to limit me. During the trial, the prosecution attempted to paint Taylor as a dangerous individual who was building dangerous firearms in his basement. In this vein, the prosecution objected to allowing Taylor's family in the courtroom to show support.
Wow, what?
Nor did they allow his upstairs neighbor, who knew about Taylor's hobby, to testify on his behalf.
I can't believe that they can even... I don't know if the judge allowed it, but I can't believe that the prosecution can even object. I guess you can object to anything, but I've never heard of them objecting.
The judge allowed it.
Well, what's... Well,
yeah.
I mean, all of these little rules that they... Or
but
things that they're
rule.
Able to do... No. What I'm trying to say is they do have reasons for why they might want to do that at any particular point in time that are, like, let's say, reasonable reasons. But what's happening is all the judges in states like New York are complete political hacks now, completely just doing whatever they can to get these outcomes. Like, they don't care about this guy and his innocence or not innocence, and they don't even care about the law. They just want to, like, have a victory in the media that they can point to. You know, they want to also have a chilling effect. They're trying to get things done that they can't do, like, legislatively. Like, they couldn't get this law passed, so they just want to make it basically de facto illegal by having sham trials. That's what's going on in New York, just across the board with all sorts of other stuff, even like the Trump stuff that's going on right now.
And then also, people don't read news stories, they read headlines. So they'll see a story, man arrested for building guns, and then everybody in New York is going to be like, well, you can't build guns here.
Exactly. That's
oh,
really...
Oh, well, the Second Amendment doesn't apply here.
Yeah. No, that's really all part of it. That's exactly the effect they're going for. It's all a war for your mind. It's all like a psyop, essentially.
Varghese described the prosecutor's opening statement. He opens up and he says that Mr. Taylor has a parade of horror. He was building this horrible place when he saw this horror that he was making under the noses of his neighbors because all of those guns intended to hit their targets, basically implying that he was going to do some harm with these things.
Well, so it was like thought crime too, and like anytime the prosecution starts talking about like, oh, what could have happened, like I feel like the other lawyers need to object and be like, well, you're bringing up something that like, it's not hearsay, it's something else. It's like, oh, a hypothetical. Yes, yeah. It's make-believe. But I feel like there's actually a word for, like, a hypothetical. Like, it didn't actually happen, so why are we talking about that in this case about what he did do? What he did, like, admit
like
to doing.
Like a false narrative.
Yeah.
They're just implanting all these scary thoughts into the jurors' heads.
This could have happened.
Yeah, in the hopes that they'll be scared.
Mm-hmm.
When Varghese countered this narrative during his opening statement, the judge interrupted him again. There's no crime here. There's no allegation of violence, Varghese recounted, saying, I got up and said, you're going to learn what Dexter is, who he is. You're going to learn that he never fired these guns. The judge interrupted again and asked the lawyers to come to her chambers for the second time. Varghese explained that he had believed the only chance of having the case go in his client's favor was through jury nullification, which occurs when members of a jury believe a defendant violated a law but decide against prosecuting them because they disagree with the law itself or other reasons. Judge Darke attempted to shut this argument down and led the jury to believe that they would face consequences if they did not vote to convict Taylor.
What? So I would have thought that in New York, like, you just straight up can't say, like, we're going for a jury nullification angle. Like, I would have thought that because I'm pretty sure in some states, like, the defense can't even do that. Well, maybe it's just that you can't say the words jury nullification during the trial, like, to the jury, and they were just talking in the chambers then. But so I'm just kind of surprised that the defendant's lawyer just said that to the judge. But then on top of that, I'm surprised that the judge can tell the jury how to rule, because what's the point of the jury?
Yeah, I don't think he said jury nullification to the jury. He just said
to the judge.
Yeah, he said it to the judge because they pulled him into chambers because he was like, well, this guy didn't actually do anything wrong, mm-hmm. and was hoping that the jury would nullify on their own.
But then the judge goes like, no, none of that. And then instructs the jury basically that they have to convict him,
mm-hmm.
and that there'd be consequences. Is that what he said? If they don't, or she said?
She said there would be consequences, or led them to believe there would be consequences if they didn't.
Yeah. That is so bad.
Wouldn't that be like jury tampering?
Yeah.
She's the judge. They do whatever they want.
Yeah.
That's the rules of the courtroom. I mean, the judge just makes up the rules.
That's true.
Well, actually, you know what's interesting is what this is actually going against is a legal tradition that goes back to, gosh, like 16-something. It has to do with essentially the right of juries. And so back in England, there were some cases against some people, and the jury came back and said not guilty, and the judge said no, and kept sending them and saying you have to come back and find them guilty.
Wait, are you thinking of the one in America that was about slaves?
No. That's different. Those people
that was later.
Were yeah.
Mm.
But this is where they established that right, mm. that basically what happens in the jury's chambers, you know, are not questionable by the judge. The judge can't question why they've decided to find guilty, or I mean, they can say that the jury didn't understand with a guilty, but they can't do that with an innocent. They can't say you found them innocent and know you're wrong.
Hmm.
And that goes back to I think it's related to William Penn, literally the founder of Pennsylvania, him and his father and legal cases they had in England. So you're talking about a like 400-year-old tradition that this judge in New York is trying to throw out. You know, so just if you're listening, you need to know that this country is, you know, really going downhill and fast.
Yeah, he says that it says, according to Varghese, I actually argue that jury nullification is allowed because there is some law from the High Court of New York that talks about lawyers who made jury nullification arguments. And basically they said that judges shouldn't encourage it, but they can't prevent it. I actually made a pitch directly to Judge Darke to allow me to argue during nullification. She, of course, rejected that. He added, she basically said, you must vote guilty without saying you must vote guilty.
That's literally what happened. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So I have heard of judges throwing something out after the jury. So what you're saying, Colin, is that this guy in England was trying to throw out the jury's decision after they had already said innocent, and that
yes.
made
yeah.
the rule that you can't do that.
Yeah.
That's interesting. That's like one rule I've heard of that actually is skewed towards the defendant instead of skewed towards. Well, then again, not. It's still pretty. Most of those rules regarding the jury are still pretty skewed towards the prosecution. Like whenever they were discussing whether or not the judge could throw out anything that the jury had convicted Ian on, Ian, our founder of this show. Well,
yeah, okay.
Well, wait,
so I just did a
saying.
Quick thing. 1670 Bushell's case.
Okay. So they were saying that, well, remember, Judge, any decision you make on this, you must give the best, you must look at it in the best possible light for the jury. So he was still able to throw out one case, but even if you're not allowed to do that for innocent cases, even if you're a judge deciding whether or not to throw out a guilty thing or, you know, nullify, you know, whatever you, whatever they actually call it, a guilty verdict, well, you have to look at it in the best light for the jury. Like, you have to give them every benefit of the doubt you possibly could. And that's just like most things are skewed in favor of the prosecution.
Yeah.
And against the defendant, which doesn't make sense and isn't how it should be. It should be presumed to be innocent, but that's not the case at all.
That's literally what they say, is you're innocent until proven guilty. The burden of proof is supposed to be on the prosecution to prove that you did something wrong because you're innocent. But that's not how you're treated. Otherwise, you wouldn't be in a cage.
It's not even how the rules are set up once you actually get into trial. It's crazy. Yeah, so that's just crazy. That whole story is incredibly believable, although it's terrible the way that these people were treated. These judges, they're just absolute tyrants in, quote unquote, their courtrooms. It's so funny, like, you will call it your courtroom and get personally offended about, you know, people following the rules in your courtroom, but at the same time, it's supposed to be a public building that everyone's in. And then when I directly asked a judge, who do you represent? He goes, I don't represent myself or the state or anybody. I don't represent anyone. And it's like, you don't represent anyone, but this is your courtroom. Like, it doesn't make any sense. It's just absolute. It's literally just a fairy tale land. As soon as you step in there, they make up new rules. It's just like Alice in Wonderland, how she goes to, she's in trial and the queen just keeps switching up the rules.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what it is. And like Lori alluded to, at least in New Hampshire, the number one rule, rule number one, is basically that there are no rules, because rule number one is that at any time the judge can decide to suspend the rules.
Yeah, I think that's everywhere. I think that's the whole point of the judge. Like, they just make up the rules.
It's incredibly unfair. And not how if you've never been through the justice system in any way and you're listening and you think, oh, well, I have some kind of faith in the justice system because at least I know that they have to do blank. Just know that you're probably wrong. They probably don't have to do anything that you think gives you any kind of safeguards when you're stepping into trial.
The reason there's only one thing that people need to know about why they shouldn't trust the justice system to be fair in any way. And that's, think about people who have nonviolent crimes who are in jail for the rest of their lives, like Ross
Ulbricht.
And then there's people who are guilty of literally killing other people that have like a 5 to 8 year sentence.
Yeah, like probation sometimes.
I thought we agreed we weren't going to talk about what I did.
Oh my gosh.
You know, how does that equate to any type of fairness within the same justice system?
Yeah.
You're going to say that someone making a website deserves to be in prison for the rest of their lives, but somebody who literally killed another human can get out in a few years?
And it's supposed to be like, oh, well, we, the people, want order, and we want, you know, a certain amount of things to be enforced in our lives, so that's why we have this. But most people don't believe that marijuana should be legal anymore, and there are still hundreds of thousands of people incarcerated over it in this
country.
It's
still a federal law, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, something pointed out just the other day is that I think polling shows that 70% of Americans don't want U.S. involvement in the Ukrainian stuff at all, and yet Congress just had an overwhelming vote in the opposite direction to you know, like, fund all that stuff. So, yeah, the government does not represent the people at all. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's funny because libertarians get into this argument like, oh, democracy is mob rule and it's bad and all that. And, yeah, it is, at least in theory. But, you know, we don't even have that.
No.
You know, we don't even have that.
Yeah, it's an illusion of choice.
It is, yeah. I mean, you could actually point to countries that historically have had actual direct democracies and they have been way better. Not that I think it's great in principle. I'm just saying that it actually does work out better. But we don't even have that in this country anymore.
Yeah, it's like the same thing. People will be like, oh, this is all about capitalism. Oh, capitalism does this and that. And we definitely don't actually have actual capitalism in this country either. And it's different than the communists who say like, oh, that wasn't true communism, because the definition of what capitalism is completely, you know, not happening in the United States as long as the government is involved in, you know, like giving corporations their special thing,
their protections,
and yeah.
Well, I mean, even aside from the regulations, the most important thing in all trade and business is the medium of exchange, and that is so completely manipulated now, and the way in which it's manipulated by the printing of money and giving it to certain groups. Basically, the government runs a deficit. They then go to the Fed prints up the money. So every single economic signal in this country is completely distorted. You know, it used to be you could say something like, oh, the people want McDonald's or something like that. And so if McDonald's wants to put poison in their food, let's say, then at least, you know, the people are choosing that. They want that. But, you know, can we really say that when all of the money that goes to it comes from people who are on like welfare and stuff like that? The complete system is completely out of whack. Just from the money printing alone, regulations regardless.
And I'm not saying that this is the case with McDonald's, but even if it wasn't, oh, well, they get money from welfare, another way to look at it, in certain businesses, it's like these people aren't even actually making a profit. I'm not saying this mm-hmm. is the case with McDonald's, but let's say, oh, they're not even actually making a profit with what they're selling, but they're just held up by the government. They're not allowed to fail.
There's that. There's the examples of that you see where you see a thing that is failing that then gets bailed out, like automakers and banks and stuff like that. But what you don't see is all of the businesses that wouldn't ever exist in the first place if the government weren't funding them. Hmm. Like, there are so many businesses that get so much money to develop weapons and stuff like that. Hmm. But then you follow that money and you say, okay, well, these people who are working at this company that makes, I don't know, like a laser guidance system, and that laser guidance system wouldn't exist. Everything that they buy, in a sense, is like also kind of tainted. So if there's a town somewhere near D.C. and it's all military contractors, then all of the people who build all of the houses for them, like those houses wouldn't be that size. They wouldn't be built in that fashion. The whole thing, just all the way down, is like that.
Were you taught, either of you, taught economics in school, like in grade schools?
No.
Me neither.
I think like very basic, like supply and demand. That's it.
So my daughter, my oldest daughter, is 5, and I read her The Creature of Jekyll Island the other night. And I think that that should be compulsory reading for children. People should read that to their kids.
What does The Tiny Tyrant say? Should that be compulsory on Free Talk Live?
I did have a like rogue teacher. He was just like my 10th grade history teacher. And we were, well, not really me, because I thought he was cool, but the other students were always complaining, like, he didn't even go over any of the actual material. He just, like, rants to us, and then we were all failing the tests and stuff. And he told us about the creature from Jekyll Island and like, talked about it a lot. He didn't, like, make us read it, because I guess he couldn't do that. But he just, like, wouldn't talk about the subjects and would just ramble about... I don't think he was rambling. It was really interesting to me. He would just talk about...
Actually
quote, unquote,
teaching?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He would talk about quote-unquote conspiracy theories like that, and everybody knew him as, like, the conspiracy theory teacher. I don't know how, like, if he had, like, some kind of serious tenure or something like that. I have no idea how he was allowed to do that.
I had a teacher like that. Not he wasn't even extreme. I just remember him saying some things. I'm like, oh, that's not part of the actual history plan. What are you doing, buddy? Like he made, and it was just like a couple of little comments here and there. One was, he said, oh yeah, this stuff happened with the Great Depression and FDR and all this, these works programs and all that sort of stuff. Of course, some people think that that actually made the Depression last longer. And I'm like, whoa, because I knew all of that stuff as a young kid, but I was like, oh, you're breaking the script here, man. Like, should I like report you, you know? Not literally, but you know, for fun, just saying that.
Yeah, but what you're saying is like most public schools would want them to teach that was helpful, what the government was doing during it was
absolutely.
Helpful.
Absolutely. I mean, it's amazing looking back at all of the stuff that I was taught. And I can actually say, like, over the years, it's gone from, oh, they didn't teach me the things that they should have taught me, or they didn't teach me well enough, to now I'm at the point when I look back at everything I could possibly remember in school, I'm like, they actually taught me crap.
Like lies. Mm-hmm.
Lies. Completely untrue things, you know.
I was talking to Stu about that the other night, about how they taught a long time ago in school that your blood was blue. Mm. And that's why your veins look blue.
I only learned this from Lori.
Here's one.
That's not true.
Stop, drop, and roll. That is the dumbest thing. That does not work. I did that.
Really?
I was on fire one time. I stopped, dropped, and I rolled. Afterwards, I'm like, that is completely retarded. How would that ever stop me from being on fire?
What happened when you tried it?
You're just on fire and rolling around.
Yeah, you just the really parts of you that are not on the ground are on fire.
Yeah, it's not going to, it depends, you know, there's
How
nothing.
How did you stop being on fire?
The fire burnt out.
What was it, your clothes?
It wasn't even on my clothes. I don't know how, but there was a liquid that had gotten onto my legs that was flammable, and I was wearing shorts, and so my skin was actually on fire.
I'm sorry.
And I'm like rolling around on the ground, and I'm like, oh, that's what you do. And I mean, you know, I would never do that now. I would have taken my shirt off and just, you know.
You know, that kind of reminds me of, I hadn't really thought about that with stop, drop, and roll, because I've never been on fire, but one thing I thought of is, like, this cop, when he heard the acorn hit the top of the car next to him, he literally got on his knees, and he was, like, fat and old. He got on his knees and did a barrel roll. All that did was, like, make him an easier target to shoot for a second.
Target.
Yeah. And, like,
less coordinated, less, you know, yeah.
And then he had to get back up on his legs. He's like, ugh. You know, getting back up on his legs and then running away, when that whole time he could have been running. He was probably trained that somebody probably put in his head at one point that that's a good idea, a good maneuver to do.
I hope he doesn't have kids. So they don't have to see that and, like, have all their friends see that that's dad and, like...
I thought you were saying you hope he doesn't have kids, so that way, like, he didn't reproduce.
That too. But, like, I hope for his imaginary children that they don't exist.
Well...
That is the best thing to do, is to just ridicule.
I know, yeah.
I mean, like you know, I mean, to a certain degree, we can make all these arguments about, you know, facts and logic and all that sort of stuff. And we can point to historical examples of when people have been free, because there's plenty of them. I found that every single thing that anything we say, like, oh, you could privatize this or privatize that or do that, each and every one of those things has been tried somewhere to great success. And sometimes many of them have been tried. You've never gotten the whole entire... full anarchist voluntarist thing anywhere. What was I going with this?
Put them all in the stocks and laugh at them.
The laughing. I mean, we could do the arguments with the logic and the facts, and you should do that, but then you also need to have, like, a really healthy amount of ridicule.
That's why trolls are so successful at their art.
Yeah. And the ridicule, though, has to sting, because it's true. You know,
and
that's the key.
I think women also need to stop ever saying, like, uniforms are hot or anything like that. Because cops, if they think women don't find it hot, I bet tons of cops just won't even apply. 603-283-6160. More coming up here. It's Free Talk Live. Don't go anywhere. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live.
Don't go anywhere.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
USA News Update. The Supreme Court will hear arguments Thursday on Donald Trump's claim of absolute immunity against charges related to overturning the 2020 election. The outcome could decide whether Trump faces a federal trial this year on 4 felony counts brought by special counsel Jack Smith. TikTok announced plans to take legal action to prevent new U.S. legislation that might result in its ban.
Rest assured, we aren't going anywhere. We are confident and we will keep fighting for your rights in the courts. The facts and the Constitution are on our side, and we expect to prevail again.
CEO Hsiao Chu described the bill's passage as obviously disappointing but not defining. A new rule from the Biden administration will soon make millions of salaried workers in the U.S. eligible for overtime pay. Announced Tuesday by the Department of Labor, the rule changes the threshold for salary employees to qualify for overtime. John Schaefer, USA News.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
To get in on the conversation with us, that's 603-283-6160. Are you tired of the oppressive rules and moderation of the big tech social media sites?
Yes!
Our Mastodon server at social.freetalklive.com can set you free. Mastodon is free, open source, decentralized, and federated. Multiple apps are available for iOS, Android, Windows, Mac, and Linux. social.freetalklive.com. And with you on Free Talk Live tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Lori,
and Colin.
And in the last segment, we started talking about just basically economics in general and how, you know, capitalism is actually a good thing and how we don't really have true capitalism in the United States. One story that I did have here says that consumer prices rose 3.5% from a year ago in March, which is more than expected. So yeah, consumer prices are inflating. That's what inflation is. It's the inflation of the price that you're paying.
I'm shocked that it's only 3.5%.
Oh, we've just touched on a topic I love.
Because they lie.
The CP lie, actually.
What's the CP? Okay.
Well, there's the CPI, Consumer Price Index, but a lot of people call it the CP lie.
Hmm.
And there's another joke out there which goes, yeah, I wish I knew what they actually use for determining in the basket that they use to determine, because I'd like to buy that. They're like, my prices have gone up more than that.
Yeah.
So can
what
you
do
please
you mean buy the basket?
Oh, so they determine how much the prices have gone up by creating what they call a basket of goods. So they'll look at, like, okay, some milk and some, you know, like electronics and this and that and some books, and then they'll do like kind of an average, and they'll say, oh, on average, all of the consumer products have gone up by this certain amount. But everybody in their life is like, no, everything has gone up by way more than that. Where are you shopping for this basket? We want to buy the basket.
It's just full of like ramen noodles and Cadbury eggs.
Oh, in fact, this is another thing. They change what's in the basket over time. So it's not even held the same. And they'll do things where they say, oh, it's different. Like, okay, so this new phone, it actually is, you know, it was 800 a year ago, and now the new phones are 1,000. But the new phones have more features, so really, you're paying less. That's one of the tricks they'll do. Another trick that they do is they'll say, oh, Americans have stopped buying steak and they've started buying like ground beef more. And instead of recognizing, oh, that's because the price of steak has gone up and Americans can't afford it because, you know, they're you know, poor because of the inflation.
Steak is obviously better than ground beef.
Yeah, they'll say, oh, people are just choosing to eat more ground beef. So they'll change the basket and then say, oh, so now people have had a savings. And another thing that doesn't get captured at all is the lack of durability in goods. So I have the example.
Planned obsolescence.
That's related, but I'll just give the example that's true in my own life. Like, my parents bought a set of buzzers, hair buzzers, and they were at a certain price. And then they had a set that was my grandma's. And if you look at the price is probably the same. It would have been like $50, you know, back in, I don't know, 1950, and this one was $50 in like the year 2000. But the one that was in the year 2000 broke within a couple of years. I'm still using my grandma's buzzers. So if you take $50 and you divide it by 5 years versus you take it and you divide it by 50 years, obviously the one product is way more expensive than the other one on a per year usage. So that's not taken into account either. So the CPI is just complete. Oh, and also they take out, they call it the core CPI, doesn't even include food and energy. So even though I was talking about food a minute ago, that's not even part of it.
I think food is probably the thing that went up the most.
And it's
important
to people.
It's the most,
it's
important
need to live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
That's okay. They do kind of the same thing, like on a magnified scale, I think, during like Black Friday sales and stuff like that. If you read people's reviews of what they bought on Black Friday, it like falls apart. It basically immediately they buy it and then it's broken. And I think that they're taking these things that are sold at these cheap prices and making them even worse than they already were, which is a feat within itself. I might be crazy conspiracy theorist, but I think so. I think that that's actually they make them worse for those sales.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. I could totally see that being a thing. So when, thing about this story here about the prices raising, it says that shelter and energy costs drove the increase. So wait, were you saying energy is not?
They have a couple of different numbers. There's the core CPI and then there's another number. And I forget all of the little details. I mean, like at some point you do enough research into this stuff and you realize it's just a complete lie and hoax. And you're like, why do I even care to remember this? It's like, if these people are intent to lie that much, what's the point? But there is a core and then there's these other things. But the... And also the media is complicit in this too, because they will just take that headline number and report it, even though almost every single month that they reported for the past, like, I don't know, 5 years, when they did a revision like a month or so later, they increased the numbers on all of this.
That's
stuff.
That's weird, though.
Yeah, they never report, hey, they lied and it's higher.
I said something wrong somehow.
They start out saying, like, oh, it was 3.25, and then a month later they'll be like, it's 3.5, and then a month later they'll be like, it was 3.7, you're all just remembering it wrong?
Yeah, and the same thing with unemployment numbers, too.
Listen to this. So the headline says consumer prices rose 3.5%. This key points thing that I read to you, it says shelter and energy costs drove the increase. Energy rose 1.1%. And then I go down to like this third paragraph here and it says excluding volatile food and energy components. So what? Like, it's all just like, is this purposely written to be confusing?
Probably.
Who wrote the, who was it?
CNBC, sorry.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's just, that's bull. If anybody wants real data on the CPI, they used to calculate it honestly back in like the 80s and the times prior to that. And the methodology has, from what I understand, has been preserved by, is it John Williams Shadow Stats, I think is the website. And he has the actual true inflation numbers, and they show it's much higher. I mean, at least by several percent, which compounds over time. So if you say that, oh, it's not three, but it's five, but then you do five over the course of, you know, 5 years versus three over the course of 5 years, that's a tremendous difference. I've seen basically every price double in the course of my life related to food. I remember getting sandwiches, like sub sandwiches, for like $5, and now it's like $10 if I want a good sub sandwich that's filling and has a decent amount of meat. Yeah.
It was all artificially done, too. When the whole COVID thing was going on and eggs were like $6, mm-hmm. $7 a dozen, you could still get them at Target for like $1.19.
Yeah.
So if Target can do it for $1.19,
yeah,
obviously they weren't worth $6 or $7 truly at the grocery store. They were just telling people to pay that much.
Mm,
and people,
yeah,
did.
Well, COVID was a strange time.
Yeah.
I really think it showed us more than ever before how many people are NPCs.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
literally don't have like souls and minds that run themselves, and they're run completely by, you know, whatever. And I'll point to like a couple of examples. One is there were lines at Starbucks going out into the road of people waiting to get coffee during like COVID and the lockdowns and when everybody was supposed to be staying home, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then I would just drive right down the road to the Aroma Joe's, which is a local chain up here. They have them in Maine and New Hampshire. I think just Maine and New Hampshire. No line at all. And the thing is, I mean, you know, it's
like
a matter of preference and taste, obviously. Mm-hmm. I like it. I go there more than I do Starbucks. And
Starbucks burns their coffee.
Yeah, that's what I always say. And that's a fact. A lot of people don't know that. They burn their beans so they can have like a signature taste.
But
like, you taste it and you know what you're drinking. But
it's
bad.
Starbucks was saying things like, we are going to require that people who are in the drive-thru wear masks. They were putting out things saying we might be requiring everybody to do that. Meanwhile, Roma Joe's, no lines, no masks.
And they didn't even blow up or anything.
They didn't blow up and they didn't die and all that sort of stuff. But I noticed, for instance, there was the panic during the first like week or two when everything was shut down. And so I would go to the grocery stores and like they were all out of like this food and that food and canned food and whatever. But then I just eat like meat. And there was plenty of that. So it's like, mm-hmm. It's only the normies who, like, they sent out a programming signal. And they said, you know, do all this dumb stuff. And they did it. But if you were just not doing that, like, they were out of toilet paper at this place and that place and that place, but not at the places I went to.
What's really funny is we didn't buy, like, everybody went out and bought extra toilet paper. We didn't buy any extra toilet paper. We went to the store when we were out of toilet paper to get toilet paper, and we never, ever were out of toilet paper.
Yeah.
There was never an instance of not being able to find any.
I didn't understand it either, because I always buy stuff like kind of in bulk, so I didn't run out of toilet paper for quite a while, you know?
We just didn't run out. We just bought like a normal size pack, and we just didn't run out until we ran out normally and then bought another pack.
And that was... That was another thing that was just people having like a mental breakdown, or I can't remember what you call that, a mass hysteria thing was the toilet paper, because it had nothing to do with the disease.
Had nothing to do with it.
The other thing I was thinking you were actually going to say when you talked about the lines at Starbucks was, this whole thing is about supposed to be about being healthier, and the people who were more likely to fall for the COVID lockdown stuff care about the, they say that they care about the mm-hmm. environment when the government tells them to, but they're sitting in a line, idling their cars all the way out to the street just to go mm-hmm. to Starbucks.
I mean, like, why didn't you just have coffee at home? Like,
yeah.
I mean, you had all the time in the world while you were sitting at home. You could have made a fancy latte. You could have figured out how to do that. Here's some other crazy things. I wished I had compiled all of this. One was, when they told everybody to social distance, somebody
I should've
videotaped at a drive-through, The cars were social distancing.
My car is going to get COVID.
Yeah, they were actually like putting more than a car space between the cars.
Wow.
Our funniest thing was when we'd go to the grocery store and they had those stickers on the floor from which direction arrows. You were supposed to walk down the aisle. And I was like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. They think the germs only go one way.
Did or you like, also what? Get yelled at if you, or not yelled at, but like other customers would say something if
no,
you
No, they give
way?
Us dirty looks though, because we did it on purpose. We'd like go down the wrong way and stuff. I think we were in Arizona at that time or
in
somewhere.
In Texas, someone said something to me once, but it was still kind of like they weren't being like, they were still being kind of passive aggressive because he had his mask on and he like gave me a dirty look and then like almost passing me said, I think he said whore. It was like so incredibly angry. Like I was like, really?
We drove
like a big
from,
giant man just walked past me.
Wait. That's what you would call the person who's going down the wrong aisle.
No, I had
not
I,
dirty,
actually,
but
okay. I don't know
were
if
you
I was going down the wrong aisle. No, I don't know if I was going down the wrong aisle, but I was. I would always do this thing where I would stay on the phone with my friend who like did the same thing. Like we just talked on the phone all day, so I'd stay on the phone with my friend whenever I went into Walmart. So that way I could have my mask down. Even though it wasn't a rule, no one ever seemed to say anything when I would be on the phone with my mask under my chin. But you had to wear it to get into Walmart. A cop would be standing out there in San Antonio. But we do have a caller on the line, Alu, who's from New Hampshire. Alu, what's on your mind?
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Just as a medical professional, I have to let you know that viruses only go in one direction and they can't really turn. They have a really bad like turn radius, like a tractor trailer. So
they're ambi-turners.
The one aisle. Yeah.
Oh
they also, aisle the viruses, I mean, everybody really hates on COVID, but it was a very like morally upstanding virus. It knew which causes to affect, not affect. So BLM was, you know, totally safe. It was okay to go out for that. The COVID wouldn't get you. But if you protested the lockdowns, that was more reason than ever for you to be locked down.
Yeah, exactly. This is Medicine 101. I mean, everyone who knows medicine knows this. Colin, tell him I say he has to do the Alex Jones impression for at least, you know, 2 or 3 hours.
The rest of the show.
My throat will go coarse if I do that, or hoarse or whatever.
All right, anyway, the real
but I've got the documents, folks.
Jay Noon, I'm way behind on the podcast, but a few days ago, Jay Noon said, we can kind of fix government and tell them what to do because we're their masters and we the people control them. And if we just send in an affidavit telling them what to do, he seemingly implied that then they would listen to us if we send in affidavits swearing
well,
that.
He you did know, imply that, but something. Then when I told him they just will not listen, he said, oh, well, then something will happen.
But
I don't think that's
though?
True.
What would happen?
Nothing. So what were you going to say about it, Alu?
No, nothing. They're going to take the affidavits and throw them in the garbage or the trash. And it doesn't matter. Like, even if, say, with tax stuff and bare arms, and again, I love Jay Newman and bare arms and all them, but with the tax stuff and the gun stuff and the affidavit stuff, like, even if that's the way the law is constructed and the way the Constitution says that, even if the Constitution were very clear and it said, you know, write an affidavit and then the government has to investigate that issue or they have to take it seriously, nothing matters.
Yeah.
All that matters is he who has the power makes the law.
Yeah.
And they have the power and they don't have to do anything. So even if it were in the law, which I don't, you know, think it's that clear, but it doesn't matter because they have, you know, might makes right and they don't have to listen to us and there's nothing we can do.
They don't even
so
have to listen to them.
Interesting.
They blatantly disrespect their own laws constantly.
Of course.
I got to, like, at some point sit down and, like, really think of how to say this and spell it out in a certain way. But, I mean, if they have all this might to just do all of these things, then why aren't they just having, like, true, total, complete tyranny? Like, how are we, you know, even on – and I know Biden's going to be like, oh, they came in, they raided, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, but, like, they didn't just, like, shoot everybody.
They have to lull you into it first.
That's a great point. But someone said, and a few people, and Bonnie, and a few of you talk about this a lot on the show, I believe, and the weekend shows – cows, and it's literally, you know, cows give more milk, and cattle and everything, they perform a lot better and give a lot more milk when they believe they're free and they have an illusion, and they have, instead of a cage in a factory inside of a warehouse, they have free-range pasture type stuff, and they are happier, and they produce a whole lot more.
Yes.
One second, I'm writing all this down. I think I could use this on a girl or something.
It's like the frog in the pot thing, too. You can't just come in and say, we're taking over, because everyone's going to revolt against you, but if you slowly take away all of their freedoms, eventually it'll get to the point where they don't have any left, and now they can't do anything.
Implies that we had the freedoms.
But they're
at
also
one point,
genuinely
people
afraid
had
of us here. So, like, since you specifically brought up the raid on my house, they literally were terrified. Like, I asked the guy, like, can I pick up my dog? And he said, we're waiting to see if there's anything in the house that's going to hurt us. Is there anything in the house that you could tell me about that's going to hurt us? And, like, they were nonstop. They were, like, after the raid, like, when they were, like allowing me to go back into my destroyed house, they kept being... I heard them talking amongst themselves, like, the teenage-looking girls that were here with, like, clipboards and blonde ponytails. They were, like, 29 guns, 29 guns, an armory in there, man, and stuff like that. They were genuinely, like, scared that we would hurt them because Matt legally owned guns. So... I don't know. I feel like they are a lot more likely to just kill people. Like, they literally burned down, like, that row house of people in, mm-hmm. it was Philadelphia.
Yeah.
So at one point, humans did have freedom. There was a point in time when human beings were free, and then you get a leader, and that leader takes away a little bit of freedom, and then you get a few more leaders in there, and they take a little more freedom. And then over time, now we have this, whatever this is that we live in, where people don't have... the freedoms that they even tell you you have. They say, oh, you have all these freedoms, but you can't use any of them,
mm-hmm. yeah.
or you're punished.
Yeah, that's actually an argument somebody's made before regarding guns. They said, because the police will be like, oh, we saw somebody with a gun, so we shot them because we feared for our mm-hmm. life. And somebody said, well, do I actually have a freedom to have a gun if they could just kill me at any point in time because supposedly I could be a threat?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I believe God gave you
the
right.
taxes. I think, Colin, just think of it like economically, if you were an evil statist thug
yes.
and you wanted to get as much, and you wanted to squeeze as much sustenance from someone as you could, would you want them producing $1 per week or $30 per week? You'd want them producing more. So it's very simple, just like the cows. They know that if we work hard and we can keep a certain amount, and that's the whole Laffer curve thing. Literally, it's a scientific thing. Of if they let us keep roughly 70% of what we make, we will produce the maximum amount of revenue for them.
I don't know if I want to get into this conspiracy or not, but I think that the kind of person who's not smart enough to recognize what's going on right now is not going to be a very productive person. So there's a bunch of economic arguments regarding slaves. And of course, you're making the one that if they think they're free, okay, yeah, that's true. But there's just in general, slaves never had as much output as other people did. And I think similarly, like a person who's not bright enough, like the kind of things that we need nowadays for our advancing economy and stuff like that, we don't need just a bunch of like people standing around pulling levers at machines and factories. Mm-hmm. We need creativity now more than ever before. And I got to string this all into a complete thought here. I know where I'm going. It seems to me that they... like this is related to the depopulation agenda. I think they realize that they just don't need this many like people anymore to run the systems that they need run. I don't know. It's a different topic, but
have you read my article on libertyblock.com about the depopulation agenda? I am finally, after years and years of conspiracies, on board with at least considering that
they might
actually want to depopulate.
That is actually really interesting because I'm only finally on board with considering it as well because I watched this long documentary that was really interesting all about birth control. And I already understood that birth control is bad for you for at least like the last few years. But when I learned the history of how birth control became a thing, wow, it's so clear and obvious that there actually is a depopulation agenda. Like, the people who pushed it literally openly had a depopulation agenda. Like,
it's actually been around for 100 years. You know, and what's funny is the population
what?
Was...
Birth control or the...
No, the depopulation agenda.
Mm-hmm.
People were complaining about overpopulation potentially being a problem, you know, like 100 years ago. And we had like half the number of people on the planet then. It's kind of amazing. It's like,
yeah, I don't think a lot of people know the history of that whole birth control thing and how they force sterilized people, the undesirables, in their words, you know, like the poor and the non-white people.
And like the
well, I think there's a famous Supreme Court case called Buck v. Bell that I think people learn about in like intro to law and like maybe high schools, colleges. It's pretty famous. So I do think they discussed the mandatory, compelled...
but they make it sound like it's something that happened once and now it's over. Like, they don't talk about how the founder of Planned Parenthood was openly mm-hmm. pro cutting down the population, pro-eugenics, and how those types of people who were literally forming groups that were pro-depopulation were the people who were lobbying and really pushing to get birth control pills created and then push through the FDA.
I agree. You three should co-author a book about that entire concept, the history of the depopulation agenda.
I'm definitely going to check out your article because I haven't heard that from libertyblock.com.
So my argument about this goes in a different direction. Like in general, most free market Austrian economics people would say there's not such a thing as overpopulation because as there's more people, there's more production. And there's more creativity, too. So we would be able to generate solutions to all of these problems. You know, like who cares if there's, 20 billion people on the planet? Well, on the planet, but 20 billion people, that doesn't matter because we might have like space colonies or things like that. Like that's not an issue. Or we might find a way to materialize food out of nothing. So we understand that. Like, there's not really actually overpopulation. But I think from their perspective, there is, because it's like they look at it as what do they need and what do they want.
And how much easier are people to control and not fight back against them because there's so many more of us.
I just learned about you talking about who knows what would have been invented and created by now. I just learned about the patent secrecy. So if you invent something that's really great and innovative, they can slap a secrecy act on it, which you can't talk about it. They basically just steal your patent.
You ask for a patent?
The government or the military.
They'll just take your patent from you, and you can't tell anyone. And
that's terrible.
Yeah, and so there's so many things that have been created that are well above our technology now that we just have no access to because it got a secrecy stamp on it.
Well, here's an interesting thing, though. Like, if they slap a thing saying that you can't talk about that patent, then do you actually have a patent? Because a patent is just a negative right. Yeah, you go to the patent office.
When you ask for the patent, you probably do,
I don't know if you actually agree to it or not. But what I'm saying is, like, a patent...
Well, no, then
how
are they going to tell you can't talk about it?
I mean, they just tell you that you agree.
Yeah,
that's how it works.
Sorry, we're coming up to the end of the show for tonight. It's been Free Talk Live. Thank you, Alu, from libertyblock.com. You guys can check out his wonderful articles there. And thank you for listening to Free Talk Live. You can check out more from us at freetalklive.com. That's freetalklive.com. Thank you for listening, and peace.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.